This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Eternal and ever gracious God, who blessed your servant Thurgood Marshall with grace and courage to discern and speak the truth, grant that following his example, we may know you and recognize that we are all your children, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Grace and courage to discern and speak the truth. What a great gift Thurgood Marshall gave to us. If you aren't aware, he is on the calendar of saints in the Episcopal Church, and we commemorate his life this coming Tuesday. You might not know it, but Thurgood Marshall was a devoted Episcopalian. He was an active member of St. Philip's Church in Harlem in New York, and he served on their vestry and was even their senior warden. So if you've had doubts about considering going on our vestry, who knows what God might do in your life after that? But Thurgood Marshall, his original name was Thurgood, and the biographers tell us that it was too much to write, so he simplified it into Thurgood. Remarkable work he did in the era of civil rights, curbing discrimination, racism, injustice. And he was famous for many different things, but my favorite quote of his is, "You do what you think is right, and then let the law catch up." A powerful statement on doing what is right and just. We learn a lot about the incredible fullness of God's arms and God's willingness for all people to experience God's love. And he certainly was an advocate for that with his life. If you get a chance to look at the other readings that were assigned for today, there is that wonderful reading from the book of Acts that is sometimes called the Pentecost of the Gentiles, because it is that particular reading where Peter has this dream that God is telling him to get up and eat, and he's going to be eating some food that was sort of restricted. But he understands in the aftermath of all of that that even though the Gentiles are so different from the Jewish people, they are just as available to God's love and the fullness of the Holy Spirit as anyone. And the eyes of his heart are opened. And as a result of that realization that there's a wideness in God's mercy, that then the church truly does begin to blossom, that God's love is for all. I read somewhere where someone came up and said to a group of people, okay, fill in this blank. There are two types of people in the world, dot, 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 and fill in the blank. There was a very wise person in that crowd, and they responded thusly. There are two types of people in the world. Those who divide the world into two types of people, and those who do not. I think that was a very wise response. That God's love goes so far and so wide, and that to share that love At times it becomes important, like Thurgood Marshall says, to do the right thing and let the law catch up. There's an old joke about a little boy. He went to the grocery store with his mother. He got a box of animal crackers, brings it home, takes it out of the grocery bag, and starts to spread all of the animal crackers on the table. And his mother says, "What are you doing, Johnny?" And he responds, "Well, in all these animal crackers, I'm looking for the seals, because the package says, do not eat if the seal is broken." I like that one. Johnny's definitely a rule keeper. Jesus calls us to be a rule breaker, to find ways that we can be open to more and more and more. Beautiful second reading we had today from Revelation assigned, where John has that vision and he says, "Can't you see I'm doing something new? The old is passing away." Then in the eyes of God, all are welcome. All are welcome. But then we come to this gospel. John starts out telling us after Judas had left the Last Supper. So the words now that Jesus is going to have to his closest few, he calls them little children, using a phrase that is not used but just a few times in the Bible about the intimacy that he has with those who are gathered. And what does he talk to them about? Well, we always know that when time is running short, that the person is going to tell us the crucial, most important things. And he talks about love. He talks about loving, not just in any way, but just as I have loved you. That's a special kind of love. We have talked about that type of love many different ways. But the simplest way, I think, to describe it is what C.S. Lewis does. He talks about basically two types of love: need love and gift love. Need love is that type of love that we give to another person or persons because we expect something in return. And when it comes to Jesus, that really isn't love. To love as Jesus loved is gift love. To love with all our heart, mind, soul, and body, expecting nothing in return. That could be hard at times. Because when we talk about the who we're supposed to love, it is everyone without exception. But even as Judas has walked out, even as Jesus has soon predicted that Peter will deny even knowing him, it is important for us to understand that, yes, at times there are boundaries that we need to abide by for the sake of that love. Boundaries can become a way to not only love yourself, but to truly love the other person. There is the saying, "I love you too much to let you act like that." Think about if you're a parent or have been a parent. There are times that out of love, we establish boundaries, telling them that we're not okay with something going on in the relationship and calling them back to center. We're called to love all, but we're called to maintain those boundaries that Jesus would have us do. And one last thought today. A lot about this love has to do with us being able to love ourselves because we understand that we are made in the image and likeness of God. T.S. Eliot wrote a rather famous poem called Gerontion. It's a word that means old man, and I can relate to that. But in that poem, he uses an image of Jesus as a tiger. And that image of Jesus as a tiger supposedly comes from an old story and legend that is told that I'd like to share with us today in closing. A mother tiger died giving birth to a tiger cub, which meant that that little creature came into the world without the benefit of a mother, a maternal presence. Yet there was a herd of goats nearby that observed everything that happened in that tragedy, and by compassion, they reached out to the little tiger cub and allowed that tiger cub to come and become part of their circle of friends. What that meant was, even though that cub was a tiger by inherent nature, he picked up all the behavioral qualities of goats because that's what he was conditioned by. And so he began to make the noising bleeps that goats would make, started to nibble grass. And so months go by, but then things start happening to his body. And of course, the little tiger has no awareness of this. Well, one day, the king tiger in the forest came through and saw this weird group of animals together. Watching for a while, the big tiger finally scorned the little tiger. "What are you doing? What's the meaning of this? Why are you not acting like you should?" And the little tiger didn't know anything to do but to make those little goat sounds and nibble some more grass. But then the big tiger realized the heart of the problem. This little creature had lost touch with who he really was. And so the big tiger takes the little one down to the river. Wonderful metaphor for baptism. And there, looking into the reflective powers of the water, for the first time, the little tiger saw an image of his true identity. And the king tiger said, "This is who you're meant to be. You're not meant to live like that." And for the first time, that little tiger roared. This is Jesus' vision for us. To realize in the depths of our heart who we're called to be. And to have the courage and the strength to respond to that call. May we be so blessed. Amen.